Let's pray together. Father, we are once again so thankful to be able to gather this morning to worship you. Lord, we have prayed to you and heard the reading of your word and have sung to you, Father, and given back to you. And now, Father, as we continue in worship with the preaching of your word, we pray that you would speak to us by your word and by your spirit this morning, Father. Lord, we pray that you would help us to see Christ this morning and to worship him. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 3, we have been working through this book of Colossians since the end of January now, and slowly working a few verses a week. This is what we try to do on a normal basis, is work through books of the Bible verse by verse. And if you remember last week, we were in a pretty difficult passage. And when we work through verse by verse through books of the Bible, you can't skip the hard stuff. And so last week we were in some difficult verses. And this week I'm thankful that we turn a corner to some practical thinking and living about the Christian life. We know that God, when he saves us, we don't go directly to heaven. That's not the way God operates. He calls us to continue to live in this world. And one of the questions that we have to ask as believers, those who have trusted in Christ for salvation, is how can we live faithful lives unto the Lord each and every day? How can we seek to grow in the Lord and walk in his ways? And in Colossians chapter 3 will help us to see that this morning. That should be parents, grandparents, that should be one of your desires. This is what we're going to see in just a moment, that your kids are saved by the grace of God and how they can then, how you teach them to walk in the ways of the Lord. And so this is a very timely passage for us this morning, given that it's Mother's Day. This is an important passage for us to think about in everyday life, especially for you parents and grandparents and everyone else that are informing children and youth of how to walk in the Lord. We need this passage this morning. Every single one of us as believers this morning, we need to know this passage, because in knowing this passage, we will know Christ more. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 4 together, and I'm going to ask if you would stand with me for the reading of God's word. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would give us understanding now to this passage, that your spirit that inspired this wonderful book so long ago would now lead us into the truth of this scripture for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So in this book of Colossians, one of the things that Paul is trying to help these believers see is to turn their eyes from the things of this world and remember who their Savior is, Jesus Christ. This is a congregation that the Apostle Paul had not personally met, but Epaphras had come to give word to Paul, who was in prison in Rome, and to give word that there's a threat to this particular church, this young church, these young believers in the faith. And in chapters 1 and chapters 2, Paul is trying to remind them who the Lord Jesus is, who their Savior is, and to watch out for all of the noise, if you will, the false teaching that has arisen within and with outside the church walls, if you will. And he has spent much time in the first two chapters of this book warning them about being deceived and deluded from false teaching. But now that he's done that, in chapter 3, he begins to apply those things of Christ to the daily life of the believers. In our passage this morning, we're going to see that the way we think and our affections and our desires are important as believers. And then in the coming weeks, we will see that those affections and the desires and the way that we think as believers will ultimately affect the way that we live out our lives and will ultimately affect the relationships that we have with one another. But before we get to how it works out in relationships and in our own life, we have to understand what it is we're called to do as believers. And Paul begins in chapter 3, verse 1, saying, "Therefore, given all that I've already said, if you have been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Now notice, Paul is he's specific with his words. Before he gives them instructions to keep seeking the things of Christ, to set their mind on Christ, he reminds them one more time, if you have been raised with Christ. He said it in chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, beginning in verse 12, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead." What Paul is saying is, are you a believer? That's what he's trying to address. He's saying you cannot live the Christian life unless you are a Christian. You cannot live for God unless the Holy Spirit is indwelling you and you have died to the old way of life and you are a new creature. So Paul is reminding them, saying, you need to check your faith. You need to make sure that you are a follower of the Lord, that you have been raised with Christ. Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus today? That's what Paul is saying here. And the reason it's so important is because if you try to live the Christian life without being a Christian, it's not only frustrating, but it's impossible. So you have to make sure that you are in the faith. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. "Test yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourself." And all of us need to take a moment this morning and examine our hearts and ask if we have truly trusted in the Lord Jesus and His life and His death and His resurrection for salvation. Because it's impossible to do the rest of these several verses without knowing Him as our Savior and our Lord this morning. We need to make sure that we know Him. Parents, moms, dad, what are you doing to help influence your kids, your children, to know the Lord Jesus? Are you praying for them? Praying for their souls? Praying for their hearts? Praying that God would draw them to Himself and open their eyes by His Spirit and by His Word, that they could see the glory of Christ, so that they could see the beauty of the Lord Jesus, our Savior? What are you doing in your daily life to make sure that your children see our Savior? One of my favorite passages is found in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, this is the last letter that the Apostle Paul would write before he would go to be with the Lord. And in 2 Timothy chapter 1, he's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says this in chapter 1, verse 3. "I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience, the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers day and night, longing to see you even as I recall your tears so that I may be filled with joy. For I am mindful of the sincere," or the real, "faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and is in your mother Eunice, and I am sure it is in you as well." Paul's reminding Timothy who he learned the gospel from, who it was that influenced him to become a believer. Later in this letter, in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, Paul is reminding Timothy, he's saying, watch out for the deceivers, watch out for the false teachers. And in verse 14, he says, "You, however, continue in the things that you have learned and have become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them." He's once again hearkening back, speaking back to the faith of his mother and his grandmother that would show him the way of the Lord Jesus. You have a responsibility as parents. You have a responsibility as grandparents to teach your children the gospel, to point them to Christ. And Paul helps us to see that in the rest of this passage in Colossians 3, how to do that. He says, if you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Then he says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. Two times he tells us to set our to keep seeking the things above and set our minds on the things above. He's saying, take your affections, your heart, your desires, and also take your thinking, your mind, and set them not on the things of this world, but on Christ. He's saying, turn your eyes upon Jesus. This is what Paul is essentially saying here. Focus on the Lord Jesus. If we are going to make a difference in the generation to come, we need to help. We need to first set our mind on the things above, and we need to help them do the same. And this is what Paul is saying. Keep seeking the things above. Amen. Keep seeking, which is ultimately, let me be very gentle here if I can. It's not the streets of gold that we should fill our minds with. It's not even the lack of temptation and sin, as great as that will be. It's not even the lack of death anymore. But heaven is heaven because Christ is there. And that's why we are to set our focus on the things above, because it's Christ that we are to set our focus on. This is what Paul is saying. Look to the Savior each and every day, all day, every day. Look at the Savior. Set your affections and your mind on Him. Seek the things that are above. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, He says, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Amen. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And we need to ask ourselves, where is our treasure this morning? If people were to examine our lives and to look at us, where would they see the treasure, which would then indicate where our desires and our heart is this morning? Would it be upon the Lord Jesus? Would it be upon His church? Would it be upon the things of the Lord? Or would it be the things of this world? He says, keep seeking the things above. And why? Because in verse 1, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seated at the right hand of God. That's quoting from Psalm 110, verse 1. And that's the most quoted psalm in all of the Scriptures in the New Testament. It's not Psalm 23, it's not Psalm 119, but it is Psalm 110, verse 1, because over and over and over, the believers of the New Testament have been captivated by the thought that Christ is ruling and reigning right now. And that's at the right hand of the Father. And that's why we turn our attention to the things above. You know, I hear often parents and grandparents and other people say how afraid they are for the world that their kids and grandkids are going to grow up in. And I know I've heard many of you say that. You're fearful of what it's going to be like in the coming generations and decades. But let me just give you two reminders biblically. Number one, that as sinful and as influenced as the world is by sin today, since the time of the fall, it's always been sinful. It's always been under the influence and the power of the devil and of sin. Genesis chapter 5, verse chapter 6, verse 5, just listen to this one verse. Right before the flood, right before God's going to judge the world for their sin, it says, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And what did God do? He judged the world. And he saved a family, Noah and his kids and his wife and their spouses. And then what happens? Then they begin to multiply and be fruitful and fill the earth, but they're still sinners, and sin continues to spread. And so we live in a world, we live in a world full of sin today, but it's always been that way. And it will be that way until Christ returns. And that's why we need the second truth, where Paul says, Christ is seated at the right hand of God, meaning He is in control. He is sovereign over all things. He is ruling and reigning right now. So as scary as the world can look like because of the influence of sin and the flesh and Satan, it's not outside of the control of Christ. He is our King on the throne, and He is ruling and reigning and in control. I shared this quote a few weeks ago on Wednesday nights, from Charles Spurgeon, talking about the sovereignty of God, sovereignty of Christ. He says, "The sovereignty of God is the pillow upon which the child of God rests his head at night, giving perfect peace." Parents, moms, dads, grandparents, believers out there this morning, it can be really hard to go to sleep and rest easy at night knowing the world we live in. But you can get some rest tonight knowing that Christ is on the throne, that Christ is in control, that He knows what's happening, and He has a will and a purpose for every single thing in this world. So let us continue to turn our eyes upon Him and trust Him each and every day. And let's remember that He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. That's what 1 John tells us, and that's our hope while we live in this world. He continues in verse 2 by saying, set your mind on things above. So not only are you to set your affections and your desires, but your minds, the way you think about things, set them on things above, not on things of this earth. When you become a believer, when you go from death to life and you're born again, your old nature is gone. Behold, the new has come, and that includes your mind. That includes the influence that sin has on your mind, and you are now to follow after the Lord in the way that you think about things. Listen to what Ephesians chapter 4 says, verse 17. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles or the unbelievers also walk, in the futility of their mind. He says their minds being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they have become calloused and have given themselves over to sensuality and the practice of every kind of impurity and greediness. Paul is saying their minds, being full of sin, has led them to live this life of sin. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ this way. If indeed you have heard Him, have been taught in Him, just as the truth is in Jesus, that is, in reference to the former manner of life, and you lay aside the old self, which was being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul sums that up in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The way that you think is so important. The way that you think about things is so important, because what you believe and what you think will ultimately determine how you live your life. And so if you have been captivated by Christ and His glory and who He is, and that He has given Himself for you, that you no longer are to live for sin and to live for Christ, if you believe that and think about the things of God, then ultimately your life will look different. It will look different than it used to. But we have to be careful, because the way we think about things also comes from what influences us. And there's a whole lot of negative, sinful influences in this world that we continue to live in. This week I heard a pastor remind his congregation of a children's song that you sing growing up. And he said, He said, we need to take hold of this children's song even as adults and kids that are in here and youth that are in here. You need to take hold of this. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, adult eyes, what you see. And be careful, adult ears, what you hear. Listen, we are more easily influenced than what we think, that we like to think. We truly are with everything in this world. From social media, to the news, to television, to people that we listen to, the books that we read, to the radio, to everything is speaking to us and teaching us things all the time. And we are influenced by those things, whether we think so or not. And those influences are infiltrating our minds and helping us to think either more like Christ or less like Christ. And the question for you has to become, what is it or who is it that's influencing me? And is it a godly influence? Parents, are you influencing your kids in a godly manner? Teaching them to love the Lord Jesus. Pointing them to the Lord Jesus. How are you influencing them? How are you helping them to think and set their minds on things above and not things of this earth? That's what Paul says. Why does he say that? Why does he say, set your mind on the things above and not on this earth? Because he knows the temptation to focus on what's right in front of us in this world. This world that is not our home. This is not our home. Heaven with the Lord Jesus in eternity in the new heavens and new earth. That is our home. And that's where we are to fix our minds on, is to where Christ is. But there is a temptation to keep our focus and our mind and what we think about on the things of this world to the detriment of Christ. There's a man at the end of Colossians that Paul speaks of in verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greeting, and also Demas. Now, you might not know who Demas is, but there's only a couple of times in Scripture that Demas is mentioned. And let me just let you in on the last mention of Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Paul writes to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Paul mentions Demas about four times throughout the New Testament. And the last time he mentions, he says, Demas is not walking with us anymore. He's not walking with us anymore. It's like the parable of the soils that I mentioned on Easter, where the word was sown and it eventually was choked out by the distractions and the things of this world. This is why Paul says, set your mind on Christ and not the things of this world. Because if you're not careful, the world will choke out the seed of the gospel in your own heart. And you will prove yourself not to be a believer of the Lord. There's a great warning here. There's a great warning for all of us to set our mind on things above. Now, let me just say this. Does that mean that you should never think about your job? No. God calls us to work unto the Lord. And to work hard unto the Lord. And to work for His glory in all that we do. Is it bad to think about it's getting summertime, vacations? No, it's not a bad thing to consider those things and to enjoy family time. Is it a bad thing to think about sports and think about fishing and everything else? No. Those are good gifts from the Lord. But it's when we take those good things from God and we turn them into God things, they become idols in our lives. And we've turned our eyes and our attention, our desires and affections more on those things and less on Christ. And our hearts are more captivated by the things of this world. There's a warning. We are called to live in this world. That was one of the teachings last week, that those false teachers were trying to escape the world and with the way they thought and everything and try to ignore it. But we're here. God has put us here for a purpose. And how is it that we're going to live in this world and honor Him? By setting our hearts and our minds and our thoughts upon Christ daily. He continues and says in verse 3, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Once again, he wants to remind these believers, you have died. You no longer are to live the same way of life. That old man is gone. The new creation is here by the Spirit and the work of God. Don't live in sin any longer. Amen. And then he says, you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. There's different ways for us to think about that this morning, but the first, again, is that we no longer live to ourselves. Listen to what Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul's saying there in Galatians, my life is no longer my own. He says that going back to Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, Christ, who is your life? If you are a believer today, you no longer are to live a life under your own authority and on your own accord, but according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is the Lord. He is the Savior. He is the one that gives the direction to our lives. If you are in Christ, you are hidden with Christ in God. Another way to think about that, and another application for us to think about that this morning, is that we live here in this world, but our hearts and our minds are with Christ in heaven now. And what does Paul mean by that? Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be here this morning and your physical address says McConnell's or Chester or York or Rock Hill or wherever your address is. But if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, your ultimate address is heaven. And that's why Paul says, think about the things of the Lord, that your life is now hidden. You are citizens of heaven. This world is not our home. We live in this world. We're called to make a difference in this world. We're called to honor God in this world and share the gospel with a lost and dying world. But ultimately, this world is not what we're living for. And we need to be reminded of that each and every day. Another quote that I shared this past Wednesday night by a missionary, he said this, "This visible world is to man his great temptation to forget God." That's every day. Even as believers, we are tempted every day to look out to the world and be distracted and forget God. And that's why daily we need to ask the Lord to help us set our eyes upon Christ, turn our minds upon Christ, turn our affections upon Him, and love the Lord Jesus. Help us to do that with our children. Help us to do that with our grandchildren. Help us to turn our eyes upon Christ, because we are so tempted and easily tempted and to be distracted by the things of this world that ultimately have no eternal value. One other thought in verse 3 about our lives being hidden with Christ and God is that if you are in Christ, if you've trusted in Him for salvation, if you've believed upon Him, there is security in that. There is security in that. Listen to what Psalm 27 says, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? When evildoers come upon me and devour my flesh, and adversaries and my enemies, they stumble and they fail. Though a host encamped against me, my heart will not fear. Though war arise against me, in spite of this, I will be confident. One thing I have asked from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, listen to this, the beauty of the Lord. Why does David want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life? To gaze his eyes upon the Lord, to see the beauty of the Lord Jesus, and to meditate in his temple.
For in the day of trouble, he will conceal me in his tabernacle. In the secret place of his tent, he will hide me. And he will lift me up on a rock. And my head will be lifted up above my enemies around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. And I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Are you hidden in Christ this morning? Can you say with David that you have confidence no matter the struggles of this life, no matter the difficulties of this life, no matter what happens, that you are secure in the Lord Jesus? Hebrews 7:25 says, therefore, he is able to save forever those who draw near to God through Christ, since he always lives to make intercession for them. There is not only this, no matter what we go through in life, this security and refuge we feel in this lifetime, but there's eternal security for those who trust in Christ. And that should be our desire for ourselves, for our families, for one another, for those in this church, for those who are lost and in need of finding refuge in the Lord Jesus today. Finally, in verse 4, Paul reminds them, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Paul's reminding them that as we live this life, so we set our heart and affections and minds upon the things of the Lord, to also keep an eternal focus. Keep a forward focus that Christ will return. He will return and come back and make all things new. And make all things new. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 through chapter 3, verse 3 says this, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, when he comes, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. What John is saying there is have confidence by trusting in Christ so that when Christ comes back, you're not shameful because of your sin and your lack of belief in him. Verse 29, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Here's a promise right here. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. John is saying, and Paul is saying here in Colossians 3, 4, that when Christ returns, for all those who know him and have trusted in him, we will be made like him. We will be glorified. Not because of any work of our own, but because of the finished work of Christ. We will be with him in glory forever. That's our hope. That's that should be your greatest desire, is to experience eternity and glory with the Lord Jesus. Amen. But that doesn't happen on our own. It happens through faith in what Christ has done on the cross and his resurrection for you and for me. And so we are called to focus upon him, to look to him. Kids, I know there are a lot of kids in here this morning. I'm so thankful for that. You need to, here's a warning, here's a challenge. Do you know the Lord this morning? Do you know him? Have you believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation? Paul said, believe and you will be saved. Parents, grandparents, do you know the Lord this morning? If you do, are you seeking him? Are you seeking him? Are you pointing your kids to him? If you're here this morning and your kids are not with you, what are you personally, as a believer, seeking the things of the Lord this morning? This is how you and I are called to live the Christian life in this world. This world is not our home. This is not it. There's a day when Christ will return, but until then, may we be found faithful by turning our eyes, our hearts, our affections upon Him each and every day. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for Your Word that reveals to us and teaches us about who You are and Your great love for us in sending Christ to this world. Lord, we thank You for the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection, and that Christ is reigning and ruling right now at Your right hand, interceding for us. We thank You for that, Father. And Lord, I pray, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know You, that they would run to Christ this morning. They would flee to Him. They would put their hope and trust in Him this morning. Father, I pray for those that do know You, that You would help us by Your Spirit and Your Word set our attention and focus and affections and desires upon You each and every day. Help us to not be distracted by the sin and the temptations of this world, but keep our focus upon You. Lord, I pray for the families in here this morning, the parents and grandparents and others, that You would help give them wisdom as they seek to teach their children Your ways, Father, Your paths, to help them to point to You each and every day. And Lord, I pray that we would be a church that sets our hearts and our minds upon You as we seek to live for You and to glorify You, Father. It's in Christ's holy and precious name we pray. Amen.